RNZ Pacific News, hello katoantok, mi Koroi Hawkins. A Fijian professor on governance believes recent charges against Fiji's former leader, Frank Bainimarama, will end his political career. The former prime minister could face extended jail time after last week having his acquittal overturned on a charge of perverting the course of justice in a case dating back to 2019. Mr. Bainimarama was in court again yesterday for two separate appearances. Adjunct professor of governance from the University of the South Pacific, Vijay Naidu, says Bainimarama's future hangs by a thread.
Yes, as a politician, certainly this is his end. He has got many, many worries, you know. So, you know, he will be a prisoner in the coming months. And I think it's not a good future ahead of him.
New research has revealed sexual harassment of female journalists continues to be a major problem in Fiji. More than 80% of respondents say they've been sexually harassed. The study, published in Journalism Practice, found issues of power lies at the heart of the problem. Researchers say while more than half of the journalistic workforce is made up of women, violence against them is normalized by men. Still in Fiji, a heavy rain warning remains in force for the whole of the country. Flash flood warnings are in place in low-lying areas of Vanualevu and Vitilevu. At 10:30 a.m. local time, Fiji's Met Service advised that Nasinu has had the most rain, getting just over 200 millimetres in the past 24 hours. The National Disaster Management Office, with approval from the Prime Minister, has asked all civil servants to consider working from home. Tonga has been experiencing intensive rain with inundation reported across the main island of Tongatapu. Heavy downpours are forecast for the rest of this week. Tonga's government announced yesterday disaster management meetings have been held to assess the threat of flash floods. There are concerns the weather may cut short the OFC Men's Nations Cup, which kicks off today at the Loto Tonga Football Centre between Tonga and Samoa. The project lead for Greenpeace's Stop Deep Sea Mining campaign says she hopes the UN body developing regulations for international seabed mining will not limit the involvement of civil society. Greenpeace could be stripped of its observer status at the International Seabed Authority after it boarded a ship owned by the metals company in an anti-mining protest last year. However, Louisa Casson, who heads Greenpeace's campaign, says she thinks it's highly unlikely her organisation will lose its seat at the table.
We really hope that governments choose to take no measures to limit peaceful protest. The observer status of organisations like Greenpeace International is something that the whole of the ISA assembly, so that should be all governments, monitors and has a decision on. So we hope that this Friday there are no decisions taken to limit civil society participation or try and limit future protests.
Bendigo Bank has temporarily delayed its plan to pull out of Nauru and close the Pacific Island country's only bank. This comes after a Chinese state-owned bank signaled it might be willing to fill the void, setting alarm bells ringing in Canberra. Bendigo Bank announced late last year that it would leave Nauru by December 2024, saying it wanted to reduce complexity and simplify its business by focusing on its Australian operations. A large delegation from the Bank of China visited the Pacific Island country last week to discuss potential solutions to address Nauru's banking issues with President David Adiang and a host of senior officials. On Monday, a spokesperson for Bendigo Bank told the ABC that it had decided to push back its withdrawal, although they would not say when Bendigo made that decision. A political science professor says China is employing a charm offensive to Australia and New Zealand. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi has met his New Zealand counterpart Winston Peters in Wellington. Canterbury University Professor of Political Science Anne-Marie Brady says it's been 10 years since the two countries signed a strategic partnership agreement with China, but things have since changed.
Since 2018, New Zealand has had a course change on our China policy, as has Australia from about a year earlier, particularly based around recognition of the really serious foreign interference that both countries are experiencing from China and the foreign interference that's going on in the region, in the South Pacific, and from China, as well as their expanding military activities there.
Anne-Marie Brady says China would like to go back to Australia and New Zealand accepting its position. The export of handmade arts and crafts from the Solomon Islands into New Zealand is keeping local traditions alive. Mary Watara, who sells the products at markets and festivals in Auckland, says the arrangement sustains livelihoods for artists back home. She said it also ensures the conservation of traditional crafts for future generations.
Through this craft, the mothers pass on the tradition to the children. So no one will forget how to make this craft, especially the string bags, the necklaces, the fans. The young people, they learn and they pass it on.
Ms. Watara and her family sell the Solomon Islands crafts at monthly Urbanesian markets. They'll be at the Manukau Melanesian Market on April 23rd. A five-time World Fire Knife champion hopes the next generation keeps sparks alive for the traditional Samoan art. Dozens of Fire Knife champions from across the region gathered in Auckland to compete in the two-day event. Mikaele Oloa was a judge at the Aotearoa Siwa Afi. He says he's proud to see tradition alive and thriving in New Zealand.
They have a lot of potential out here. They're doing great. I see that warrior, that Samoan warrior spirit. I'm excited to see what they got going on. You know, the competitions is the most important because that kind of sets their standard with themselves. And every time they just keep building upon it.
In world news, Palestinian health officials say at least 15 people have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza. The Hamas-run health ministry says Israel targeted a house in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Medics say rescue operations are underway, with some victims still believed to be trapped under the rubble of the three-story building. Israel is yet to comment on the allegations. The U.S. Supreme Court has allowed a controversial immigration law in Texas to come into effect. The law gives police the power to detain people suspected of crossing the border illegally. The Biden administration had tried to block the legislation. Our correspondent William Denzelow reports.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott hailed the court's 6-3 decision as a clearly positive development. SB 4 grants state law enforcement the power to detain, jail and ultimately deport people suspected of crossing the border illegally. Critics of the measure say it will lead to racial profiling. The White House says SB 4 is unconstitutional, harmful, and will sow chaos and confusion. The long-term fate of SB 4 remains unclear. Legal battles will continue, and the courts could still block it down the line. But for now, it has the green light to take effect.
In sport, the Wellington Phoenix women have just 3 games left to try and salvage their A-League football season, including tonight's match against Adelaide United in Porirua. The Phoenix have won only one of their last 5 games and are 10th on the table, 8 points outside the top 6 playoffs of sports, meaning they must win all 3 games to extend their season. Coach Paul Temple says there's still belief they can pull it off.
The bar is really high, like to get into the 6, and I think it just shows you how strong and competitive this league is. And you go into the next 2 games and on the table, they're the 2 teams at the bottom of the table, but like they're so close to us and we're just slightly above them.
World Rugby has announced a raft of changes it hopes will speed up the game and prevent new viewers from turning away. The plan has been revealed as reimagining rugby's entertainment factor. Barry Guy reports.
The changes include a 20-minute sanction for red cards, quickening a ball from the ruck and maul, and a set time to complete scrums and lineouts. World Rugby is concerned slow play and negative tactics are affecting the fan experience, so they're focusing on enhancing ball and flow and reducing stoppages. They're also looking at the number and timing of replacements, potentially nullifying the Springboks-famed bomb squad that was used to win the last 2 World Cups. Some of the changes will come into effect immediately, including referees telling players to use the ball at the base of a ruck or breakdown sooner.
And the International Olympic Committee says Russian and Belarusian athletes will not be allowed to take part in the Paris Olympics opening ceremony parade of nations. That's the latest news and sports for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.